Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Nicole. I am so sorry it's been a couple of minutes behind because I had some technological issues. I don't know what I did, but I think I synced way too many devices to my computer, and it didn't like that. It got a little angry. So, welcome to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, Mediumship and Spirituality with the Boston Attitude. The information presented here is inspired by spirit, brought to you by me, your spirit messenger, Nicole Quinn, of course. And I'm going to check out real quick whether or not the chat room's up. I think it's not up. So let me just get that going for you. Today's topic is animal signs. And I talked a little bit on the last show briefly about basically how animals could be kind of messengers from spirit. And this means pretty much, you know, anything. Could be cats, dogs, or just wild things, you know, wild animals. I just saw a cardinal fly right up, right on top of my windowsill as I'm talking to you guys right now. So I'm sure a cardinal has a message for me today. He's so bright and red. I wish that I had the ability to do like a live stream while I'm doing this so you guys could see. Just to give you a little background how the show works. Basically, I try to pick a topic, which I hope I can stick to. Sometimes spirit has other plans for me. So if for some reason I sort of veer off topic, you know, have some patience with me because, yes, I am in control of myself, but I'm a person and I don't always know what everyone else needs to hear, but spirit does. So whether or not you get a chance to ask a question and have it answered, know that just by listening to the show, that something in the show will be, it'll pertain to you. Whatever you've got going on in your mind, even if it's an answer for somebody else, there's going to be a part of that answer that will pertain to you because spirit is very good at multitasking, better than I am, clearly, because if I was, I wouldn't have screwed this up and been late with the show. Anyway, that's just technology. There's not a lot I can do about that. Not really a techie, so to speak. I'm just going to check real quick. It looks like I already have a caller, but before I take that caller, I want to just get into the topic a little bit more. One of the most useful tools that I have found in terms of getting messages from spirit is to use divination decks. And, you know, to go along with today's topic, there are so many out there that have animal symbolism. There's one by Stephen Farmer. I think it's called Animal Messages. Actually, there's more than one from Stephen Farmer. But there's another deck that I have. I pick the ones that call to me. You know, it's really important if you're going to try to do something with an oracle deck that you don't just pick one because your friend thinks it's cool or you might, you know, like some of the pictures. If they don't speak to you, if you look at it and it doesn't mean anything to you, yes, you bought a nice 52 cards of artwork, but you're not going to be very, you know, you're not going to get any kind of symbolism that's going to mean anything to you. So just keep that in mind when you go to the store because there are like literally hundreds of these different kinds of decks. I have two that I use primarily when it comes to animal signs. One of them, as many of you might have seen, is the bird signs. And I post these on my Facebook page quite a bit. I had to get rid of my old page and I started a new one. So you will be able to get some more of those shortly. I had to scan in all the cards and, you know, get permission from the company to use them and all that, the company that created them. It's actually put out by New World Library, and the author is Gigi Carbone. The illustrations are Mary Ruzica. They're really pretty. They're very simple. You don't have to look at the card and be like, oh, I don't know what that means. It tells you on the top, okay? It's a feather. It means enlightenment. It's a pheasant. It means opportunity. The interpretation from there, I often take what's in the book because the book actually tells a lot about the actual behaviors of the animal. That is a lot of how in earlier indigenous cultures, people knew when things were going to happen if they saw certain animals because of their behaviors. You know, I guess the only one I can think of now in modern day society is if you see a bunch of rats running towards land, that means there's some kind of flood coming. I don't know if it's quite the same as it was back then. But you can still get messages from spirit through the animals, and especially for people who are leery that they don't really know how to communicate with spirit or they don't think they're getting the message, you can use this deck and get some really good symbolism and messages. So earlier today, I was trying to prepare for the show. And I was thinking, you know, oh, what can I do, you know, to get ready? So I pulled a card, you know. And then what did I pull? I pulled a pelican. Pelican is for spontaneity, and it just made me laugh because here I am, and I'm always like this. I'm conditioned to be prepared. I'm conditioned to have, like, backup plans. I'm conditioned for research. And then I get out there, and it's like this thought process, this stream of consciousness just starts pouring out of me. And I'm, in the middle of it, I'm aware that this is not what I planned on talking about, or this is not what I intended to say. And yet, here it is coming out, and people are nodding, and people are understanding. And I'm like, how do I do this? I don't know. The only way that I can put it is, it's called inspired speaking. And I have, I've not read too much about spiritualism. There's not a lot of that down here in Texas. There's a church up in Austin I have not been to yet. That's a spiritualist church, but I plan on visiting. But spiritualism, you know, it's basically all based around mediumship and the fact that life does not end. So inspired speaking is where you'll get a person that goes up on the platform and they're either given a topic, or I think sometimes they're free to just say what comes, and there's no preparation for it. They just start to speak, and inevitably people are in tune with whatever it is they're saying. There are people that, you know, go there just for curiosity's sake, and those are usually the people that walk away with the strongest messages, which I find awesome. And always the skeptical people get the best ones too. So if you ever get a chance to go to a spiritualist church and just sit in on a mass, I would highly recommend it. I'm planning on doing so myself. But inspired speaking is kind of, that seems to be my main channel of communication to the spirit world. Things will just come. So let me go and look up the cardinal, since cardinal decided to just fly right in as soon as I start talking to you guys. Cardinal. And I'm going to just read a little bit here from the book before I make my own interpretation. So cardinal, the inspiration is transformation. The color is red, obviously. And the general message of the card is transformation is change in your thoughts and actions. Well, that is a very timely message. There are so many people that are going through change right now, and I know I say that a lot, but I can't help myself, because on a daily basis I get people that are coming in to see me, and primarily I work as a massage therapist, and you know, they always seem to open up and tell me things, and almost all of them are going through some kind of, it's change, but if they could only see that the change is not just a change, it's not just an interruption in your plans or a temporary state of being uncomfortable, but it's a change in, you know, a shift in energy and a transformation, something going from one form to another. And as time goes on, we're learning more and more that change is going to happen more quickly than it ever has in time. The amount of time between major life changes has gone from, you know, in our great grandparents' lifetime, maybe never, down to the next generation, which was maybe like every 40 years, and then the next generation every 20 years. And at this point, we're going through change like maybe every 10 years, and it's going to just keep speeding up. So we all need to really kind of get used to change. And the main thing about change is it's bothersome to us because we don't like to have our comfort zone tampered with. So Cardinal's message about transformation is very timely for people right now. There is, let's see, the book says, did cardinal land on your bird feeder, or did you choose the cardinal card today? See, if you're working with the deck, it doesn't matter if you see the animal. That's just basically what you're working with. But seeing the animal also is a thing that, you know, it's like one of those spontaneous things, and you should notice it, because if you see something, especially repetitively, it's definitely a sign. You need to pay some attention to it. Transformation from the rather dull brown color of the juvenile cardinal to the beautiful rich red color of the adult male reflects the transformation in your life as you become a leader in your community, your family, or your religious institution, or your work. Now, cardinal, I think it got its name from the red robes of the cardinal. Oh, let me just say hi in the chat room real quick. And I grew up Catholic, so I'm pretty familiar with that. but becoming a leader. You know, cardinal stands out. And just in my own observations, I've noticed that when there's a female that's hanging around and looking to try to go to the bird feeder, inevitably there'll be a male cardinal, and it will come first, and it will, like, hop around, look around about a million times, and then the female will come. So it seems to have sort of like a protective kind of nature about it, but it's also a leader. It steps out first. And leadership is something that's been happening in my life a lot. I've, ever since I was younger, been forced to go to the front, and I really don't like that. I really would rather just hide, and that's why all of this is just so hard for me, because I have to go out and be this voice and bring through these messages and try to get people going, but at the same time, it's not my comfort zone. So you have to know that doing the show, even sometimes doing readings, I don't like to do big readings. I'd rather do a one-on-one, because there's it's too overwhelming for me. You have to kind of step into that role sometimes, and change for me, stepping out of my comfort zone, is something that I just had to embrace. And a lot of it is fear. It's like, what is there to be afraid of? Oh, I might make a fool out of myself. But then, you know, you really have to think, so what? So you make a fool out of yourself for like 10 seconds of your life. Who's going to remember that? With all of the stuff that competes for our attention on a daily basis, really think that you're so, you know, all, you know, so that important, I guess, that everyone's going to stop what they're doing or ignore everything else and just pay attention to the shame that you just caused yourself? No. Maybe for a few minutes, maybe for a day, but you will get over it. And you should go back out there after that and just be even, like, more ballsy than you ever have. Why? Because you want people to see that that didn't stop you from doing what you wanted to do. We're all going to trip up. We're all going to have these moments. And that's not what's important. What's important is how many times you get back up, just like that saying. You know, it's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get back up. And people will really pay attention to you once they see, you know, that after falling on your face, you have the guts to go back and be even more in people's faces than you were before. It is quite awesome. So, cardinal. That's cardinal. That was my interpretation of cardinal. That just kind of came stream of consciousness. A lot of how I do my readings are like what they call claircognizance, where it's almost like this train of thought just kind of comes right in and starts to move right through me. Sometimes I know what I'm saying and sometimes I don't, but I'll tell you this, if I stop myself and try to think about it and intellectualize it, it stops and I don't make any sense. So if you ever come see me and I'm trying to have a normal conversation with you and I stutter and I'm like, that's because that stuff is starting to come through and I'm trying to hold it off. It happens so many times. Even when I'm talking to my customers, it's like trying to discuss different things that are either going on in their lives or sometimes medical conditions will come up. And I'll want to just talk and just say, you know, okay, well, this is what's affected by that. This is how we can work on that today. And in the middle of me doing that, there's other stuff that's like causing me to like choke on my own tongue. It's the craziest thing. And I'm still getting used to it. I'm a skeptic just as much as a lot of other people out there. So that's the thing. You know, I'm not completely sold on anything that anyone has out there. So, and you should be the same. Just always be a little leery. You'll be able to know deep inside. There'll be a little voice that'll let you know this is for you or this is not for you. And even though something doesn't appear to be truth for you, it can also be truth. It could be truth for someone else. You know, everyone is living their own reality and they're seeing life through their own eyes. You have no idea what it is to see life through another person's eyes unless you've been them. So just keep that in mind. So animal signs. I don't have any callers right now. I think we lost the one caller, probably because I said I wasn't going to do psychic readings. But I'm still here. I'm still talking. And if you do have any questions in the chat room or if you have questions about animal signs, you can give me a call. I've got a couple of reference books here that I like to go back and look at. They're by Ted Andrews. He has been sort of the authority on animal signs. So you've got Animal Speak, which, this one is called The Spiritual and Magical Powers of Creatures Great and Small. And then there's another one called Animal Wise, The Spirit Language and Signs of Nature. And both of them are pretty good. They're both sort of like a dictionary in terms of you can look up the animal and find out what it means, a little bit about its habits. The other one, One of them kind of goes through some meditation so you can find your totem. I'm not sure if y'all know what a totem is, but totems are sort of like your protector animal. If you've had an animal that all your life you've just had an affinity for with like no explanation, maybe ever since you were a kid, most likely the spirit of that animal is, it's around you and it's trying to kind of help you along. Just like we have spirit guides, we all have spirit animals. Those of us who are a little bit more in tune with nature, I think, tend to pick up more on the animal part. Like, for example, I have always had an affinity for the bear. I don't know where it came from. I just love bears. And it's like I'll watch shows about them, and I've always loved Winnie the Pooh. And see, when it's a message from spirit, it'll come through in various incarnations. It's not just seeing an actual cardinal, for example. You might be in a class if you're in college, and the person next to you has a purse that's got like a bunch of graphics, and there's a cardinal right there on it. That's still a sign. It's in modern day society, we can't always get out into there, but that's okay because spirit always finds a way. That's one of my famous sayings, spirit always finds a way. Believe me when I tell you, they are way, way smarter than we are here. And it's not even, you know, it's just a perspective. It's not even that we can't get there. Once you start to kind of merge your spirit self with your human self and allow them to coexist, I mean, it's a fantastically balanced life that you'll be able to lead. That's not to say you'll never have problems or that things will be perfect, but one will consult with the other. It's almost like what they show back in the old, like the old cartoons where they had like an angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. Well, the devil could possibly be representative of your ego self. It's your human self. It appeals to the five senses. It craves pleasure, all of that sort of thing. And that's what your body does for you. The other side is the angel. That could be very much representative of your spirit side. It wants to do good. It wants the greater good. And it encourages you to be kind and considerate to others. So if you kind of think of it that way, it kind of takes that whole I'm a spirit but I'm a human thing and puts it into a little bit more of a digestible kind of perspective. So that's just something to think about. So I've got someone in the chat room here talking about a totem, and it's actually the earthworm. That, you know, bugs and insects, you can have those as totems. One of my other totems that I've had besides the bear is a spider. And it doesn't matter what kind of spider. I don't think it's specific to that. It's the general idea of a spider. And what spiders will tell, what they teach us is that all of life is basically a big web, and we're all weaved together. We're all connected. And some of the Native American stories, Grandmother Spider is the teller of tales, talks about the ancestors and where we all came from. So it's very much about being connected. And when I find myself disconnected and our thoughts are heard, they do vibrate out to the universe, you will start to see signs and answers. You might even think, I didn't sit down and ask a specific person or a specific spirit and a question, so how am I going to get the answer? It doesn't matter. We're always connected. We're always surrounded by lots of energy. So if there's no spaces between matter, there's nothing between you and me, and there's no reason why we can't communicate with each other without having to use words. Words basically tell us we're separate. And in this reality, yes, that's what the experience is, but if you can kind of wrap your head around that a little bit, I bet that you can start to see little areas of your life where things happen and you think it's a coincidence, but it's not. Those vibrations of your thoughts, they kind of go out like waves, and they'll bring in what you need. You'll get an answer. So I'd get the, I'm not real connected, I feel isolated and alone kind of vibe going, because everyone feels that. I'm not perfect. And then I'll have a dream about a spider. I'll look out my window or just walk down the stairs and find that one has decided to build a great big web all along the railing. It's amazing. And I notice it because I've kind of trained myself to notice it. You can't just, it's like anything else. It takes practice. You can't just kind of go out there and be crazy and think every single thing you see is a sign, because probably isn't. But if you can kind of get that subtleness and just, you know, notice things that appear to catch your eye, you'll be able to start getting that stuff much more easily. So in Ted Andrews' book, the Animal Wise book, he does have the earthworm in here, and it says, keynote, working old ground. And this is interesting because I don't think I've ever read this one before. It hasn't come up before. Let's see. It always talks about the actual creation itself. So the bodies of worms are muscular and segmented. The blood, digestive, and nervous system run through all segments. And then it just talks a little bit about the soil and all how it works itself into the soil. The habits of the animals are really important too. When earthworm appears, it is time to work over all we have been experiencing, a time in which we must examine and digest what has occurred in our life. Well, I think that's really timely considering, you know, we're entering the end of the year, and for a lot of people, it's you start looking back and thinking, what did I do? You know, what's going to happen next? It's kind of that sort of a feeling. So earthworm actually wouldn't be a bad one for people to kind of take a look at in this book. And I know that there are other books out there too. Like I said, Stephen Farmer has a bunch of books, but for some reason I connect much more with Ted Andrews. And I love the image of the half Native American, half wolf man on the Animal Wise book. I don't know. I saw that image and I had to grab this book. It was just totally for me. So let me go back in here just a little bit because there's some exercises and stuff in one of these. Okay, this one has the dream song of the eagle, which kind of tells you about creation and all that. So if you go back and you read about that stuff, you'll be able to find, you know, how some of the indigenous people really viewed everything as connected, because the animals were not animals to them. They were people, you know, just like we are. There were different species, but they were people. And they honored them and they respected them. It's a very different way of looking at life when you don't, you know, you look at a cat that's running across the street and you think, oh, 25 points if I hit it. And thinking, you know, hey, this is a revered animal that we've created to be dependent on us. And it's our responsibility to take care of. Why is it running around in the street? And I don't know that many people are that considerate of even things like stray cats. You know, cats have been around for millions of years. There's the big cats, and then, you know, we've created the small domestic cat through breeding and stuff. But cats still have a message for us. I mean, they know how to rest. That's one thing a lot of people don't know how to do today in society. They know how to play. That's also another thing missing from many people's lives, and just get too distracted with work and obligations and stuff like that. So if you happen to see a cat, maybe multiple times, or maybe there's a cat that sort of waits for you. I had this happen to me. I don't have pets right now, but when I first moved here to Texas, I was pretty much on my own. It was just me and my husband, and it was kind of lonely for me because I'm not used to that. I'm used to, you know, knowing where to go to hang out with certain kinds of people and all that kind of thing, but all of a sudden, this one little cat was there, and I was just, you know, I looked at him and he looked at me and I don't know what happened. There was some kind of connection there. He started to kind of come around every day. He knew when I came home from work. He would actually not be around during the day. Sometimes he'd run off. But when I was coming home from work, he would show up right near my doorstep. And I'm like, and I hadn't fed him at all. It's not like that. And so I asked him what his name was in my mind because I'm like, hey, let's work with this. I don't have anything else to go on here. And he became my little friend, and I called him Daniel because he reminded me of Daniel the Striped Tiger from Mr. Rogers, if you remember those days, had those little puppets and stuff. And man, that cat, I could feed him, and he wouldn't even want to eat. He would just come over and want to spend time with me. And it's like, here I was in a strange place, and here is this little non-judgmental, loving little friend that decided to come and spend some time with me. And I was very touched because, honestly, animals are a good judge of character. That's one thing. They usually pick up on things that are, you know, unsafe or threatening in some way. And for that little guy to come over and just be so welcoming to me, it made me feel good. It made me feel like, you know, this little guy thinks I'm okay for him to be vulnerable to, because animals kind of, especially the smaller ones, are vulnerable. I mean, we're much bigger than they are. And yet here he was, and he was my friend. And I was asking, you know, I'm like, how am I going to find people to hang out with here? I mean, relocation to a completely different side of the country is really challenging. You lose everything. You lose your medical professionals that you have a relationship with. You can't just go to the same old dentist that, you know, isn't going to stick the needle in your gum and kill you. I mean, you got all these things that are sort of safe for you, and then you go to a different place and nothing is safe or sure, and it's all about trial and error all over again. But I asked, you know, please send me someone that I can spend some time with, and there was the cat. I can't dispute that. And I'm allergic to cats. That's the other thing. So even though it was kind of unlikely, that was my little friend. That was my little sign from above that I was going to be okay and that somebody was watching me. So if you, you know, you get stuff like that that happened to you, pay attention. Birds, deer. Here in Texas, there's a lot of deer. And deer are kind of, they're also a sign. I'm not sure if it's in the book. I didn't actually look that one up in the book. But I have another deck of cards that I use often, and it's about, I think it's called the Celtic deck, and they're all round. They're really beautifully done. But it really relates all back to, like, Celtic tradition and stuff. And there's a card on there that's the stag. There's actually a whole section of it that's put it to animals. Like, there's, you know, the four suits. And the stag represents, like, the birth of new things to come. So I just want to tell this story because this is exactly the kind of thing you're going to start finding when you start to open up like this. So I was driving, and it had been a long time with the construction here that I had seen a deer. And this is the first time I've ever seen deer up close and not, like, in a zoo, in a petting zoo. And they would run across the street sometimes or, like, be in the backyard, and I was like driving to work, and all of a sudden this deer was running through the street, and it was a young male. I could tell by the length of his antlers, and he was really just scurrying to get across the street. And I was like, wow. And I thought, I haven't seen one of those in a long time. That's unusual. That's something that caught my attention. And I started to have my mind wander back to that deck, and I was like, I know the stag has something to do with, like, the birth of new things. It's like a spring kind of a feel. So I kind of blew it off a little bit, though, because I was on my way to work and I didn't have time to devote to it or meditate or anything. And then later, I want to say the next day or so, we were out doing some errands, my husband and I, and I was sitting in the car waiting for him to come back because he had dropped off some dry cleaning. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, and I was like, you know, that was really awesome when I saw that deer. Because I haven't seen one in so long. But I wonder if maybe it was just a fluke, maybe it wasn't anything. I kid you not, I looked up, and there was a deer right in front of me walking along the street as I was having this thought. And it's like, that's spirit's way of saying, no, it wasn't a fluke, it's real. Sometimes when you have doubt, you will actually see some reinforcement, just so that they're keeping you on track. Animal spirits they feel different from, like, the other kind of spirits that might come in and help you, like spirit guides. It really is the essence of the animal. It's like, the only way that I can equate how I think of it is, you know, God is, you know, up in heaven, if you want to say it that way. And we're all here down on earth, and we're all little sparks of God. So we are all God, you know, in a sense. Well, I feel the same way about the animal spirits. It's like there are, you know, a million bears here on earth, and then there's the great bear spirit, which is the essence of all of those animals and the breath that runs through all of them. And I feel like that's the only way that my little human brain can kind of make sense of it. But bear is a really strong totem with Native American people, and it really surprises me. I'm constantly surprised because I do have that skeptical mind at the different connections that'll happen with bears. And, you know, I do have a bear claw that I consider sacred. It's a real claw from a bear. And I got it from a Native American guy, actually, that he's here down in San Antonio, and he sells some, you know, medicine bags and stuff, things that he makes himself. And at first I was skeptical and thinking, oh, I really hope this guy is for real and he's not just a person trying to, you know, take more from the Native American people, because you do get a lot of that. And I was like, well, let's see. So I looked at his table and I was checking out the different stuff he had. Some of it was, you know, not really Native American made. It was sort of just like, you know, pendants and stuff like that. But then I looked over and I saw a necklace all made out of bear claws, and I just... my eyes just got like saucers, and It was like somebody punched me in the chest, like that kind of a feeling. And I went over and I touched them gently. And I knew that they were real, but I asked anyway. I was like, are these real? And he said, yes. But I have, he said, it's a very expensive necklace though. And it had turquoise and it had the bear claws. And I said, well, I really don't want all of those. I really would like to just have one. So he said, well, I do have some. And then I looked at him a little more closely, and he had a tattoo of a bear paw on his arm. And I was like, oh, my God, this is all so connected. Everything is kind of lining up. It's synchronicity. And it's like you have to just kind of pay attention and see how these things will kind of manifest themselves in your life. The bear was trying to call out to me, and I ended up doing a meditation on I shouldn't have probably done it in the car, but sometimes I can multitask. I don't go deep into meditation where I'm like I don't know what's going on around me or I can't do anything, but it's the kind of meditation where, you know, like if you're exercising and your mind goes off in a different place, yes, you're still exercising, you're not falling down or anything, but I kind of communed with the spirit of the bear a little bit and I got a really strong feeling for him. I tried to find out, you know, what kind of bear did this claw come from? And when you get information that's contradictory to what you would like to hear, that's when you know it's really real. Because I have this great affinity for the brown bear, like the grizzly bear. And I always see that bear when I have dreams. And the dreams do come at times when I really need assistance. So I know that that's the bear spirit, my totem, coming to help me. But it told me it was from a black bear. And I was like, well, I don't want it to be from a black bear. I want it to be from a brown bear. That's the one I like. You know, that's the one I identify with. But it didn't matter. And what he said to us was, what he said to me was, to us, it's all, we're all bear. It's only to you that there's a difference. And I was like, all right, okay, I can work with that. And it's true. And I've gotten that message from other spirits as well, and including, you know, some of the guides that I have where they identify as Native American, but when I ask what tribe they're from or I ask about that, they tell me who they were in life the last time they were here in that form, but they tell me there's no tribe there, that we're all one tribe. And I get it so consistently that I have to believe there's truth there. So let's see. I have a caller here. I think I'll take that because I definitely have enough time to take one. So let me just go and pick that up. Hello, are you there?
Hello.
Hi. Do you have a question?
Yes, I had a question on a relationship. Does that have to be a general question or can I?
Today I'm going to be using the bird signs deck because the theme of the show is all about animal signs.
Mm-hmm.
So you can ask your question and I'm going to use the deck with the birds to actually answer it.
Okay, great. So let me ask my question. When do you feel that my boyfriend, Jason, will come to California to meet my family and, you know, talk to my father and ask for his blessings, the whole nine? Yeah, that's my question.
Well, the first card that I pulled is the quail, and the quail is trust. So in terms of a dateline, I'm not going to be able to give you that, but I'm going to tell you what you need to think of and how the situation's kind of going to, the energy of the situation right now. So mm-hmm. Quail is about trust. So I'm sure that, do you have some trust issues with him? Like, are you feeling like maybe there's an issue where he doesn't want to meet your family?
I trust him, but I think he's just nervous and maybe like they want to accept him or something.
Okay, because there's definitely a trust issue because this is the first card that I picked up. And it may be that, like I said, he's afraid to meet them or, you know, there's some other issue there. And being vulnerable, when you meet someone's family for the first time, it's really vulnerable. You feel a lot of pressure. You don't know how to act. You don't know if you say something, if they're all going to be offended. And it's a difficult kind of encounter. The second card is the owl. And owl is wisdom. So I'm just going to check real quick in the book because I don't pull this one very often. Wisdom, owl. I would say off the top of my, you know, from what I get the general gist from looking at the card, but then I get the feeling of what the message itself is without looking at the book anyhow. But wisdom, I'm thinking like inner wisdom. I'm thinking that maybe you have a fear also of him going to meet your family. And your inner wisdom's kind of telling you something, and you may not be listening to it.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like when he will, like, bring up the subject, because he knows it's, like, we have to talk about it, and I kind of been waiting, hoping that he would bring it up on his own, or do I have to nudge him a little bit?
I feel like there's a sense of secrecy there. I really do. I mean, owl is one of the owl comes out at night, so there's always sort of like a feeling of not quite deception, but maybe like under a cloak kind of a feeling. I'm not saying that I know something is bad or wrong with anybody involved, but I feel like there might be the trust in the owl together. Definitely there's something going on that there's like an issue that if it comes to light that things might not work out right. And maybe he feels
on his end almost, or
yeah, I think it is. I think it's on his. It might be on both. You know, I don't know how close you are to your family, but like I feel like there's, it's almost like you're afraid that this is going to make or break the relationship.
Because
if your family doesn't trust him or doesn't like him, that's going to cause a problem because you're not going to just divorce your family. And on the other hand, if it goes the other way and maybe he doesn't get along with them, and it's going to be putting you in the middle if that happens. So it may just be that things are happening this way because there's that whole insecurity about whether or not things will go well, and that maybe if something goes wrong, that everything will fall apart. And he may be just trying to avoid that because he doesn't want that to happen, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So basically what I would say is, and it's never a clean cut, it's never like he's going to come meet your family on October 21st, 2011. It's always like there's an issue there and there's a block there that needs to be worked with. And if you work with it, you're going to find out the truth about the situation as opposed to just, you know, a generic kind of an answer. I also pulled a sparrow, and the sparrow is for forgiveness. Usually when I pull the sparrow, it means forgiveness of yourself, because we're the hardest. We don't forgive ourselves, like, for years and years for things.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there was ever any kind of trust issue there, because they're all going to connect. So there's the trust, the inner wisdom, and the forgiveness. If there's something that maybe happened that you haven't forgiven yourself for, and maybe you're afraid it's going to come back up and bite you in the butt,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, something like that. So I don't know. I mean, that's about all I can tell you from the cards. It's really difficult for me to just kind of do a spontaneous reading on the phone, which is why I choose to, yeah, I like to sit with the person or like do the one-on-one thing a lot. But does that kind of make any sense to you? Do any of those things
no,
kind of fall
does
into
totally.
Line?
It does
it
totally.
Does? Okay.
I'm actually, you know, thinking of bringing up the subject like in about a week or so. But I know like everyone tell me like Mercury retrograde and, you know, I shouldn't do it now or whatnot. And so I'm kind of undecisive on when I should bring this up.
Well, is your family, are they asking to meet this person?
Well, they don't know about him yet. You know, in our culture, you don't really bring anybody home until they are serious. My sister, you know, my sisters obviously know, but as far as parents, like, you know, you have got to be really serious for me to mention you to my family, you know?
So that would kind of be like that little cloak of deception that's going on where someone's in the dark about something. That would be them.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Anyway, well, thank you so much for your... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I would just say to work on that. Just write down those three things, trust, wisdom, and forgiveness, and see if maybe anything comes to you. Do you ever do like meditation or spiritual work in any way?
I do, but not to that, not religiously, should I say.
Okay. Well, sometimes if you get, like if you can pick up this card deck or find an image of these animals, sometimes you can just kind of let yourself daydream a little while you're looking at it or while you have your hand on like a picture of them, and you might be able to pick up some psychic information just for yourself. It'll just be there. It's not like you have to think about it. You don't want to think. You just want to let it go.
Okay. Thank you so much for your insight. My, as you can see, my phone is probably going to die, so I'm like, you hear the clicking in the background. Well, thank you so much for your for the reading.
Well, thank you.
Have
You're welcome.
Day.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, cool. Well, I've never actually had to do a card reading on the phone, so that's actually kind of cool. But you can kind of see where, you know, you pull these different cards. I know when I pull them for myself, I know exactly what it is because for the most part, we try to hide from ourselves. When you do a reading for yourself, because you have so much of a stake in it, you usually don't, you don't want to hear certain things. And like to do readings for my family, it is brutal. If I have to try to do reading for my mom, for example, I just can't do it. It's like I know if something comes through that I might interpret might hurt her feelings or something, I don't want to give it. And that just messes up the whole process. So it's a little bit easier doing readings for other people. But when you do them for yourself, just be open. Just don't tell yourself, I pulled this card and I don't like what it means because I read the book. Be open. Look at the word that's on the top of the card. Like, for example, okay, here's one that I pull a lot. Parrot, creativity. Whenever I pull this card, it always has to do with people not allowing themselves to be open and free to express themselves, or possibly they have some kind of artistic ability and they're not doing anything with it. They're not expressing it at all, but it is there. So almost always you'll get a certain feeling from the card. So if you don't want to go through the book and kind of be all, you know, like it's a research endeavor and try to learn every single thing about it. Because I actually tried to do that when I first started, like maybe 10 years ago, I started with tarot cards and I was like, I really want to know how to do this. And I started picking up different decks and I was like, I don't know what any of this crap means. What the hell is a magician? I'm like, it doesn't mean anything to me. And even though I read it somewhere inside of me, it still wasn't clicking. I had to think about it to the point where it was so painful. I just had to put down the traditional tarot. They did not work. And I thought somehow if I did a deck that was like an oracle deck that I was cheating and I wasn't like it wasn't real communication. And it's like, it's not about that. It's about what connects to you. Because not everybody identifies with the same thing. That's why there's so many hundreds of decks out there. If anybody in the chat room wants me to do like a one card reading, I'd be happy to do that for you. They're a little bit general and I'm not really plugged into my medium vibe today, so I don't know that I'm going to be able to get anything from the other side today. I'm kind of I'm in the flow with the cards today, which is what I asked Spirit for because I'm just going to use these today. The other deck that I have, that one's all birds. The other one is actually, it's Australian, so there's a lot of animals in here that are Australian. This is another kind of deck where I thought, you know what, I don't know why, I don't know anything about Australia. I've never been there. But this deck is really, it's really calling to me. As I started to handle the cards, like each one of them, I just started to get pulled in. Like, let's see, there's a couple, like kangaroo is in here, which you might not find in a traditional deck. A wombat, which you're not going to find in a traditional deck. A platypus, you know, these are kind of, they're different. Although some of the animals in here that are also not traditional are here. Like, for example, there's the ant, and the ant stands for strength because an ant can carry like 10 times its own body weight. Or dingo, which sort of like similar to our coyote, which is a trickster. So if you pull a dingo, you're probably in a situation maybe where something is not what it seems, or someone is trying to hoodwink you, take advantage of you in some way. There's a lot of superstition out there about things like black cats, stuff like that. Honestly, I don't feel like that stuff has anything to do with a spirituality at all. I think that was mostly based on fear. So if there's a black cat around you or you feel like, you know, maybe that's calling out to you and maybe your totem is actually not just a cat but a black cat, don't be afraid of it. You know, explore it. What's going to happen? You might find out some information, you know? Nothing bad is really... I have never really had any experiences where something was really, really bad from a reading. And even the stuff that seems really bad, is actually not. It may appear that way at first, but it's not. A lot of things can come off to us as negative, but that's because we judge them. You know, that's not because they are that. Now, one of the cards in this deck, this is actually called Animal Dreaming, and it's by Scott Alexander King, who's the author of Animal Dreaming and Animal Messenger. Those are maybe a couple other books you might be interested in. There is one here called The Black Swan, and it's got a picture of a black swan on it. Now, if you thought in traditional superstitious terms, you might think, well, if the white swan represents beauty, then the black swan must mean something ugly is on its way. No. The card itself has the word grace on it, which is so funny because that's actually one of my synchronistic signs that I get a lot, and has to do with my writing and the fact that I'm trying to write a book right now that it's taking some time. But when I see that, it's always like that encouragement, like, hey, don't forget about the book. Like, okay, I will go back. So from this little companion book that goes along with the cards, it says, everyone knows the tale of the ugly duckling, a child's fable about an abandoned hatchling forced to endure ridicule and rejection, but who ultimately overcame adversity to become a beautiful swan. The parable demonstrates that until you can look inside and find the innate beauty that resides there, you cannot expect anybody else to see your beauty. When you look in the mirror and see infinite beauty looking back, however, others will also recognize true beauty on all levels when they look at you. Swan helps us realize our inner beauty by returning us to a state of grace. Grace cannot be learned, it cannot be bought or given, it can only be found within. It must be remembered. Children walk naturally with grace. Grace is innocence and impeccability coupled with deep knowing and unwavering sense of belonging. The knowledge of what true beauty is without having to advertise it. That's pretty positive, and it's definitely spiritual. I think, grace allows us to be strong, abundant, and proud without being aloof, pompous, or rude. So there's an underlying sense there that, the thing with beauty, and I've had this, you know, come up several times with readings and even in my own life, because we're such a judgmental species, you know, we're constantly trying to discern this, that, and the other. It can also come off as, that can come off as negative. So maybe you don't think you're beautiful, and you're afraid to be beautiful, which sounds really silly, but there are people out there who are afraid to be beautiful because they're afraid if they're beautiful, it would mean a certain thing. It will mean that they're shallow. It will mean that they care more about themselves than other people. There's a selfish connotation with beauty. A lot of this stuff really just comes from media. It doesn't come from within. If you kind of closed your eyes and tuned in, you'd find a world of difference between what gets broadcast to you from spirit and what gets broadcast to you from, you know, any of these major networks that are always showing people like Paris Hilton and, you know, Christian Bale and all these other people out there that are supposed to be our role models and everything. And the thing about that is we love to have these role models. They're always beautiful people. They're beautiful on the outside. We like to have them because they show us what's possible. This person is just like me. They're just a person, but they're out there and they're successful and everyone knows who they are and how fantastic and wonderful that must be. But then there's the flip side where once they fall on their face, we're all excited about that for some reason. It's like this guilty kind of pleasure, like, huh, they're not so much better than I am. And it's like you've got this war that goes on within you when it comes to every single concept that's out there, whether or not you've actually stopped and noticed it. Beauty is a concept that is very much like that. You want to be beautiful on the inside. Well, when you say this person is beautiful on the inside, the automatic thought pattern is they must be big, fat, and ugly. Because you wouldn't have said anything about their inner beauty if their outer beauty was all that, you know? These are just concepts that I'm like a renegade, man. I'm out there trying to smash these things to pieces because once we stop thinking like this, everything will change. You won't have to worry about some of these judgments if everyone starts to get a little bit higher of a perspective. You know, there are beautiful people that are beautiful on the outside and the inside, but there's also people that are beautiful, not Hollywood beautiful on the outside, but so beautiful on the inside that really when you look at them, you actually can see that. The movie Shallow Hal, one of my favorites. I love Jack Black, but that's not even it. because, you know, we all know what Gwyneth Paltrow actually looks like. And in most of the movie, like 75% of the movie, you see her in this fat suit. And she walks around and you're kind of seeing what she goes through when he first meets her and everything. And he's trying to tell her that her underpants look like a parachute or something like that. And it's hurtful. So here's what I'm going to say. I'm on my soapbox right now and I'm just going to say it. Most of the people that you see out there on a daily basis that are, they appear to be overweight or unhealthy or however you've decided they are because of how they look, these are some of the most sensitive and vulnerable people on the entire planet. There is something about how we work with our bodies here and the energy that we feel we need to be protected from that's around us that causes people to kind of subconsciously add layers to themselves because every pound is another layer between them and the world. It's not because, and I know I'm overweight myself, oh well, what are you going to do? I've dieted, I've done all that stuff. It's not about the outside. And I'm actually going to be taking this course from Colette Baron-Reed called Weight Loss for People Who Feel Too Much, which if any of you out there feel like you're a person that is highly sensitive and turns to food just to kind of dull those sensitivities, I would definitely recommend it. If you just type it in on Google, I know you can find it real quick. But these are some of the most sensitive people on the planet. And literally, think about the things that are large on this planet and the vibrations that they hold. Like whales, for example. We insult people by saying, wow, man, that person's as big as a whale. Well, whales, by their very nature, are supposed to be big. And they're supposed to have those layers of fat because they live in Arctic waters. It's like we're all different species of human out there. We all come with a different purpose and a different vibration for what we're supposed to do here. And our reaction to that as a human can sometimes result in what our body looks like. That's what they mean when they say your thoughts kind of create your body. You know, people that are constantly feeling like they need protection, it's just a natural thing. Also, smoke. People that smoke, it's another thing. It's sort of like they're creating some kind of barrier around themselves. There's just so much sensitivity there. But if you can look at a person instead of judging them and saying, you know, whether they're beautiful or not, or whether they're beautiful inside or outside, it's so much easier to just take your brain out of that equation, open up your heart, and look at this person. Look at them with the eyes of your heart and realize they have just as many insecurities as the next person, as you. They're just a soul that's here journeying, and they are just as confused about what it is they're supposed to be doing and who they're supposed to be as you are. When you look at people that way, your life really does change. As a person who works with bodies all day, excuse me, in massage therapy, I've had quite a few people that have come and said, you know, I'll work on one area, say, for example, their legs, and I'll hear them actually say, I'm so sorry that my legs are so fat. They used to be much slimmer. And I mean, I'm in the zone. I'm just working with their muscle, and I'm not even thinking anywhere near that. I do not judge people at all. I don't care what you look like. I'm not there to help you, you know, do anything other than relax. And what I do more than anything else is I create a sacred space for you to come and to feel like you don't have anything to worry about or any kind of judgments are going to be cast upon you while you're in that room with me for an hour. And it makes me very sad to hear that. It's like, here's this person apologizing to me as if she's so offensive that I shouldn't even want to touch her. And that is horrible. Like I said, I go on my soapbox and spirit kind of takes over. Yes, we're still talking about the animals. The card I pulled was the black swan, which has to do with grace and beauty. So I'm kind of still on topic, but I don't know. That's just something that I feel really strongly about, and it hurts me. It hurts me to see someone that's suffering to the point where they're apologizing for their calves or even the hair. I've had one woman who said, as I was working on her head, you know, oh, you know, my hair used to be so much thicker. It's so thin now, and it's not nice, and your hair is so nice. And I'm like, you know, it completely floors me because I'm not thinking that way at all. And sometimes I'm naive that way where I think that, you know, I'm not in that headspace, and I forget a lot of other people are. And I have to remember that because a lot of what people are going to tell you and how they're going to express themselves has everything to do with you, with them, and nothing to do with you. And this poor woman came in with those feelings, and I really hope she left without them, because I do also some energy work on people while I'm doing the massage. And I try to clear away any kind of bad feelings that they may have and wipe their energetic slate clean a little bit. And I do it even if they don't ask. They don't need to ask. The energy is going to come through whether or not I even call upon it. It just, you know, there's symbols associated with Reiki that you kind of use to activate the energy. I've often found myself empathically feeling their issues, and then my hands automatically start to get hot. It's not even like I have to do that anymore. Spirit knows that this person needs energy, and I'm here and I'm available as a channel for them to put it through and get it across. They're going to do it. I've already made my agreement with God. This is what I'm here for. I've accepted it. Please do with me as you need to for the highest good of everyone. And once you make a pact like that, you can't go back on it. You know, you've plugged into something else much greater. And so in my work, no matter what I'm doing, whether it's giving a reading or doing massage or doing energy work or even in my writing, I really hope that everyone out there who's been following any of my articles and stuff can kind of feel that sense that I really don't feel anyone is any better than anyone else. And even if you have a skill or an ability that is better than someone else's, or I should say more developed than somebody else's, it doesn't make you or them a better person. It's simply a different role. So just keep that in mind, I guess, as you go along through life. It's been kind of, this has been the longest show I've done, actually. This is the first show I've done for an hour. And I sort of anticipated more, I guess, questions about, like, general questions that I could use the bird deck to answer with. But, you know, I pulled the spontaneity card, so I get what I get. It's my own fault. But Spirit always knows what's better, so I can't really, I can't take credit for a lot of the things that come out of my mouth, because they're not coming straight from me. They're coming directly from the different guides and even your loved ones that need you to hear a specific message that day, the day that you listen to it, whether it's live or on the replay. And many people do listen to it on the replay because they can't get to it live. So you'll still get your message without a doubt. So I'm just going to wrap it up today and wish everyone a great week. And as always, walk with one foot in each world and walk in the light of Spirit. Thank you for listening.